broadcasting worldwide.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Well, welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, and I'm here with the infamous Matt Sorensen, and we are just rocking the house. I love that intro music, Matt. Gets rolling, right? I mean, just...
I know, get you pumped, a little rock and roll.
Gotta love a little rock and roll. And many of you may not know that Matt Sorensen is a closet guitarist. I mean, he's been the lead guitarist of several bands. Spilby Dog, the most recent band that he was a star in. I know you're embarrassed for me to bring it up, Matt, but I'm one of your big I'm one of your biggest fans. So, you know, I know you listeners out there, Matt had no idea I was bringing this up, but it just came to me. I just wanted to say,
yeah,
Matt,
you know Mark, we played a gig for The Office once, and we got Mark up on stage, and he sang an REM song, I think. It was pretty cool. You get to live the life of a rock star for a brief moment. Even if you're a bad one, it's still pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, now let's get to the intro here. Many of you listening to the radio right now are going, who in the heck are these boneheads I'm listening to? Well, we are your voice for tax and legal planning. We are CPAs, attorneys. I should say I'm a CPA. Matt's an attorney. We're both out there helping small business owners around the country. Thank you for listening in. We're going to have some fun here. We keep it real. Keep it exciting, interesting. You can catch us on biztalkradio.com, the BizTalk Radio app. We're broadcasting on 14-plus AM stations around the country. And, of course, where we'd love to be is on iTunes. And if you can, get to iTunes and type in Refresh Your Wealth. Check out our podcast. Over 150 shows in the hopper. I think it's over 160 now. So plenty of topics there that can help you build wealth, save taxes, protect your assets, and man, we just love being here with you. So anyway, little digression there, talking about Matt's budding guitar band career, but you know, just want to keep it real.
Yeah, that was the low point of the show, so let's bring it back up. Well, this is a cool show. Tease is probably the wrong word, but I tried to express my excitement last week on what we're going to talk about today, which is finding money for your business, and the crowdfunding rules have been finalized. Now, I want to let everybody know why we are talking about this first and why we think this is such a big deal. One of the biggest issues that any business owner faces, any entrepreneur, is how do I raise money for my business? It's a common issue. Previously, it's been full of all these legal hurdles and requirements. It costs a ton of money to actually raise money just because of all the legal hassles you had to jump through. But it brings together all the topics we love: tax planning, legal planning, raising capital. It's small business, it's startup, it's real estate. All this stuff comes into raising money through crowdfunding. It's an awesome way to get money.
Well, and let me just say it another way. I know we may have had some technical difficulties there, so I'm going to restate that a little bit too, because sometimes hearing it a different way can be helpful. And I agree with Matt. It is so hard for small business owners to find money to expand, to grow their business. And you might bring on money from a loan. You might find investors that are going to actually own a part of your business. But this crowdfunding topic is huge. And we just got some final regs from the SEC last week. And this is really Matt's wheelhouse. He has really helped a lot of clients with their SEC raising capital process and their goals in that area of raising capital. So I, you know, like last week talking about healthcare, I was kind of, you know, I was spearheading that and Matt was the comedic relief. I'm going to be a color commentary for today as Matt takes us through the crowdfunding topic. Good stuff though, Matt. Huh? I mean, we're going to help our clients bring in some dollars.
Yeah. We want you to have money in your pocket to spend in your business. And that's what these rules are going to enable. It was the perfect, combination of Congress actually working together and passing a law to make it easier for businesses to raise money. And we're going to go through how you do that as a business owner or even as a real estate investor. You can be using these crowdfunding rules for real estate deals as well.
Yeah, and we've held various radio shows on this topic over the years. If you go into the iTunes podcast bank of shows, you're going to see some shows regarding partnering and raising capital without going to jail. We highly, highly encourage you to go back to those shows. In our show description today in iTunes, you will see the link to some of those prior shows. Please go back and listen to those. As we get into the meat of the show, we'll allude to some of those basic principles and concepts, but we encourage you to get back and listen to that. But before we jump into the topic today, we've got to do our regular tips of the week. So first, we're going to start with the tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Well, welcome to the Tax Tip Corner with Mark Kohler. That's me. And I can't wait to throw down a tax tip for all my RV owners out there. So I want to just give you guys a shout out if you own an RV. I was recently down in Arkansas speaking to the Work Camper organization. There's some other groups coming out around the corner with some great RV business opportunities. You're going to hear more about that from me and Matt in the future. But let's just assume for a moment you own an RV. Let me give you a little tip here. Let's get a deduction for that RV that's sitting in the back of your lot, your house. You're on the side of the house, and it just sits there 340 days out of the year. If you're lucky, you get to use it 20 days or so. And many people are struggling for finding ways to make that RV pay. Now, we'll come up with some ideas that from some future shows. We may even dedicate a show to RVs. It's kind of a fun topic. But the tax tip today is, if you own an RV, let's integrate it into your business. Where are you traveling for business? Do you need to go to a trade show? Do you want to take your products and services out on the road? I know Matt, in the summertime, you'll oftentimes find him alongside of the road selling jerky under an umbrella next to his RV. Matt enjoys doing that. You'll see him in kind of a wife beater shirt and a lawn chair on the side of the road selling jerky. Now that well, I'm working you into every one of my tips today, Matt.
Hey, we got other stuff. We're not just jerky. We got other stuff too. We got stuff for the vegetarians, you know, some fried, I don't know, pickles.
Pork skin.
Pork skin. That's you know. So we got other stuff, not just jerky, but we got the jerky too.
Yeah, there you go. No, but it's all joking aside, folks, if you own a small business, think about how your RV could be a business vehicle for help you get to where you're going for your business. Now, that at the very least will allow you to take some mileage as a deduction for that RV. And also, you may even be able to depreciate or write off a good portion of the RV, depending on the percentage of business use. So don't shy away from bringing up the RV as a topic with your CPA. And I think that's oftentimes a lost deduction. So lots of fun there. I love the RV. Matt, last spring break, I took my kids out with the RV. We did an RV week and had such a good time. And I had my Uncle Eddie experience and just a lot of fun. Just love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Cousin Eddie, right? Or is yours Uncle? Maybe yours is Uncle Eddie.
Yeah, that's right. Is it Uncle Eddie or Cousin Eddie? I got to get my Christmas vacation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that season. We should research on that.
We should. We're going to be quoting Christmas vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll report back next week. I know everyone's curious on that one. all right. Well, let me jump over now, and I'm going to give the legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, this is a legal tip that is about due diligence. And it's not as fun and as exciting as an RV, but this one could save you a lot of money and a lot of heartache. And it's a simple tip. Just say no. I know sometimes when you're looking at an investment opportunity, maybe it's a real estate deal or a company to invest with or another person to invest with, you get a little emotional about the deal. It's all you're thinking about, and you overlook some of the small things. And what I want people to think about when they're doing due diligence, I have a 10-point due diligence checklist. It's on my website, sdrahandbook.com. You can also get access to it through refreshyourwealth.com. But the one thing I want to emphasize is, if you don't know and understand what you're investing in, don't invest. And you'd be surprised how many people will send me documents about an investment and they'll explain it to me. And then what the documents say are totally different. It has nothing to do with what they explain to me. And so they don't understand actually what they're investing in. So if you don't know, say no. And that's my tip for the day. You want to be able to understand the investment, understand what you're going to actually be holding in your retirement account or in your personal name if it's personal cash. So if you don't know, say no. I'm going to try and trademark that. Cannot be used without the express written consent of Matthew Sorensen, Inc.
I love it. Folks, don't change your dial. We're going to be right back with more of Refresh Your Wealth. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen, talking about ways to save taxes, build wealth, protect your assets. And today we're talking about crowdfunding, ways to raise capital for your new venture or in your current business. What are the new rules with crowdfunding? They just came down from the SEC a week ago. We're so excited to see these finalized. They'll be phasing in over the next 6 months. Matt Sorensen, our expert, my amazing partner, will be clarifying a lot of those rules here shortly. But I during the break, Matt, I want to just let you know, we're all about research and giving our listeners quality information. So I just wanted to clarify that Uncle Eddie is truly the uncle. He's not just a cousin, because if you remember, he was married to Ellen's sister. See, so it was an uncle to the kids. Very important.
Oh, yeah. Uncle to the kids. Okay, yeah. Brother-in-law to Clark, then?
Yeah. Brother-in-law to Clark. He was married to Catherine, you know, Ellen's sister. So we got to get that right. We don't want to, we can't let our listeners down. We cannot mislead them. That would just...
Yeah, we've got to be accurate. Accuracy is what you demand, and it is what Mark Kohler delivers.
Yeah, and if you're going to give an RV tip, you know, I think one of the most famous RV owners in the world is Uncle Eddie. Now, I know many RV owners that are just offended by that statement, but I'm sorry. You know, I love RVs. I'm with you, folks, but Uncle Eddie's going to come into the conversation. Okay, so without any further ado and no more Christmas vacation trivia, we got an answer to our question last week. Matt, why don't you tell us who our winner is?
Yeah, so the question from last week was, what is the total amount that you can raise in your business in a crowdfunding offering, which is the topic of today? This is one of the things we're going to go over more in depth. But the answer came in from Mike Darcy, who wrote in correctly, stating that the total amount you can raise is $1 million. So thanks, Mike. If you can email us, and I'll email you back to let you know you won, let us know your address, you can get a book, one of Mark's or my book, your choosing. And we'll ship it out to you. And keep in mind, for those, we're going to have Mark's going to give us the question for this week. We want you to write in with your answers. Write in to Mark, M-A-R-K, or M-A-T, Matt, at kkoslawyers.com. And we will announce you on the air if you win, just like Mike. And you'll get a free copy of one of Mark's books or my book of your choosing. And that book is signed.
Yeah. And now, let me clarify, Matt. I actually have to clarify. That would be a copy of my newest book, The Tax and Legal Playbook. What Your CPA Isn't Telling You and Lawyers Are Liars books are a little more sought after. I'm just not throwing those out here again, folks. We're not, you know, just giving these things away. You got to respond. And at Christmas time, I will be offering a three-book combo at Christmas for all of you that want to give a gift of learning to your family members. Be looking for that on our newsletter each week, and I'll maybe send out an email coming up in the next few weeks. So. But as for the show, it's a copy of my newest book, The Tax and Legal Playbook, Game-Changing Strategies to Help You in Your Small Business. So great job, Mike. Yay. $1 million crowdfunding. We're going to find out how.
That was the $1 million question.
Oh, good. That was good, Matt. See, you're getting funnier on the show. You should be proud of yourself.
I don't know. Well, I'm trying.
All right. Well, the question for this week. Now, folks, if you're on your phone or by your computer, even if you're catching this recording, you want to respond as quickly as possible. Oftentimes, our winner comes in over the weekend because they think everybody else replied, but they take a stab in the dark and they reply. So here's the question for a free copy of Matt or mine's book. What is the 179 deduction amount for purchasing a large truck or vehicle or even an RV, trailer, something like that, that you could deduct this year before December 31st. So if you buy that big SUV or truck, what is the maximum 179 deduction you can take before you actually do standard depreciation, auto fuel repairs and maintenance? Now, last year, it was the same amount until the last minute of the year. Last minute, Congress got together, heaven forbid, and changed that amount in the 11th hour, literally on December 31st. So everybody got an extra little bonus at the end of the year last year. But we're stuck back to that retroactive amount right now currently. So we don't know what Congress is going to do. So if some of you would like to respond, please email Matt, M-A-T, at kkoslawyers.com or Mark, M-A-R-K, at kkoslawyers.com with your answer at that dollar amount and win a copy of the book. So good stuff.
That is awesome. All right. Well, that's a big deduction, and that's one you're going to want to tune in for the answer to. And if you know it, please write in. Now, let's jump into the topic, if you don't mind, Mark. There's going to be so much to talk about, so we might as well get at it right now.
You go, girl. I like it.
All right. All right. I just did a little – it's for those of you – I mean, this is radio, but I just want to let you know I did a little I did a little pointed finger nod right there. That was like my little diva move. Okay. Just visualize that.
That's why this is radio, folks. This is why it's radio.
It looks as dumb as it just sounded. But this is full disclosure. Okay. Crowdfunding. Now, why we're talking about this, I know so many of you have been like, all right, you guys have talked about crowdfunding before. I've heard it. It's been in, you know, on newsletters, or I get emails about it, or I've heard it in the news. And why the heck are you guys still talking about this? Okay. For so long, crowdfunding was this big, like, dream. And then it got passed into law. Democrats and Republicans came together. The president signed it. And then it was like, wow, this might actually happen. President Obama signs the law. I'm like, wow, this might actually happen. Then the SEC sits on it. This is since 2012, so it's been over 3 years. The reason we're talking about it now, and why I want everyone to understand this, if you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, you want to start up a business, you're a real estate investor looking to raise capital, you've got to know about crowdfunding. It is one of the easiest ways you're going to be able to raise money for your business deal.
Now, Matt, can I add something? Now, for some of you out there just listening to the show, I want to take one more step back and just talk basic for 2 seconds. Is that a point that many small business owners go, how can I raise money for my business? And as I said, there's going to be some links in the description there on the iTunes description of the show to prior shows where we talk about borrowing from others. You may partner with others. You may find investors for your business. Well, this crowdfunding falls into that third category of investors. And if you want someone to invest in your business, typically you've had a lot of hurdles to jump through because of Bernie Madoff type schemes. The SEC, state securities agencies, and the feds are worried about you getting ripped off. So they have all these rules. So for years, people are struggle trying to find investors, quote unquote, to come into their business. Well, this is where, Matt, I like just stating it another way. This is where crowdfunding come along. How can I go out and get a bunch of money, a little money from a lot of people? I can get a bunch of money from a lot of people, but little amounts. I wanted to rephrase that. That's where crowdfunding came from. Because that way you're not taking as much, these people are not taking as much risk. And you're spreading that capital you're raising over a large pool of people, a crowd, if you will. And so therefore the SEC is like, well, if you're only taking $50 from a bunch of people, you know what? If they lose their money, too bad, too sad. But we're going to have different rules if you're going to take $50,000 or $500,000 from someone, because we don't want grandma to lose her last dollar. Matt, what do you think? Was that an okay little summary? You're the master here.
Yeah, that was a great summary of what crowdfunding is and how this issue got percolated and why we're so excited about it. Because now there's a way. Now there's a way you can legally go out and raise capital in an efficient manner where you can get up to $1 million. Now we're going to come back, talk about the business owner's perspective, how you can raise money. Stay tuned.
Well, Welcome back, everybody, to the Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Talking about crowdfunding today, ways to raise capital in your business. Another method, rather than borrowing from dad or our brother-in-law, or partnering with someone where you have to share a large chunk of your business. Why not raise from a crowd of people? Well, I'm here with my amazing partner and expert, Matt Sorensen, who's breaking it down for us. And we're going to talk first about what do you want to do as a business owner to get this project, type of project, off the ground? And then in our last segment, we also want to talk to many of you about what happens if you get approached for crowdfunding. Matt, I actually got an email from a friend of ours that's doing some crowdfunding. And I was like, huh. And so, you know, Matt's going to tell us what you should be looking out for if you're going to invest in a crowdfunding project. So, Matt, first, business owners, what should we be doing?
All right. Now, here's what you want to think about. We have already said you can raise up to $1 million. That's the limit you can raise. This could be a brand new business. You haven't even opened up doors. You just have an idea. This could be an existing business that you have, but you can raise up to $1 million. Now, the first thing to keep in mind, you must give equity ownership in your business. This is an important rule because sometimes when you raise money, you could do debt or notes, but the first rule is you must give equity. So LLC interest or stock.
Well, how much, Matt? I don't want to give away 80% of my business. Is there rules of how much I have to do, or do I get to choose?
You get to choose. However, when you make an offering, so you're going to come out and create documents. All right. This isn't something you're going to do on LegalZoom or anything like that. Okay. You're going to want to generally hire a lawyer. You know, if you don't follow these rules, you got to deal with the SEC and state securities commissioners. So this is a little, you know, you want to be careful. But now this isn't like, you know, you're not going to spend hundreds of thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars on this. And this may be a few thousand dollars you're going to spend in legal fees. But you're going to get some offering documents that outline how you determined the share price and how much you're going to offer.
Okay. That, Matt, for us. So when I get those documents, because let's clarify this, and we had a little technical glitch there. So I want to say, so when you do these documents, what you define your percentage then? Okay, say that one more time. How do we do this when I do the offering docs?
Yeah, so you're going to outline the amount you're going to raise in the documents, and you're going to specify how you determined the price. So you have to outline what's the ownership you're giving up, what's the purchase price, and how you determine that. That's one of the qualifications and requirements that must be in the documents.
Okay, and these documents are going to be out on the web for people to see. So because when I go to the crowd, right, they're going to look at them.
Correct. Now think, this is an important point about how are people going to find out about it, or how are they going to get the documents even?
Yeah.
Because you can't just give people the documents. What the SEC has done in the rules is said, all right, you can let people know you have a crowdfunding offering, but you can't give them you can't sell them on it. You can't give them the documents. You can't get them even to sign, and you can't take their money. What you have to do is send them to a crowdfunding portal.
Okay. Boy, I love this. Many of you may think I'm just throwing softballs up here at pit batting practice with Matt, but these are all things that are out of my wheelhouse. So I'm eating this up. So this crowdfunding portal kind of administers the offering. Now, Matt, do I have to be a rich guy to invest? Can I only... we accredited investors is a term many of you listeners may be familiar with, that if I want to get an investor, they have to be someone that's financially solid. Can my grandma go to the crowdfunding portal and get involved?
Yes. Yeah. Great question. So in terms of who you can solicit to, or at least,
send them to the portal.
Let people know. Yeah. You can let people know you have an offering, send them to the portal if they want information, but then who can and actually invest is anyone. Anyone can invest. The question becomes, how much can they invest? So the accredited investor rules are totally thrown out the window. You don't need to worry about the accredited investor rules. You're not just limited to rich people. Grandma that you know that's retired that you know might want to throw a couple $1,000 into your startup business and get some ownership. She could do that, even if she's not an accredited investor.
Now, do you get to establish those limits? Or in your documents, or does the feds tell you, well, you can only go up to $5,000 with grandma?
This is a tricky part because the rule is investor-based. So the crowdfunding rule applies to each investor, and it says each investor can invest an amount from $2,000 to $100,000 in all crowdfunding offerings. So okay. It's kind of tricky because as a business owner, you might have someone that could otherwise invest money, but if they invested in a crowdfunding offering last month already with someone else and maxed out the amount they can invest in crowdfunding offerings, you can't take any of their money. So it comes down to each individual person, how much they've invested already in crowdfunding offerings in a prior 12-month period. It rolls every 12 months. And then you got to look at what's their income and net worth to determine how much they can actually invest between that $2,000 to $100,000.
Oh, okay. So what grandma would do is when she goes to the portal, now I can go, let's get more practical here. I can go out to Facebook and I can say, hey, everybody, I'm raising money for my business. I'm so excited. Our business is going in an amazing direction. I'm going to raise $1 million and all of you can own a part of it. Just go to this crowdfunding portal to learn more. Click. And I send them over there. And then grandma goes to the website and says, oh, I want to support little Mark, a little grandson, and we're going to go over there and invest with him. So she plugs in her net worth and her income, and the portal will tell her, well, grandma, you're maxed out. You can only put in $3,200 because we're not going to let you invest your life savings with Mark as much as you love him. But someone else that has a higher net worth, they could go up to $100,000 if the equation allows them. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, correct. And grandma would have to determine. So the minimum anyone can invest is $2,000. So we know she can at least invest $2,000 as long as she has not invested in any other crowdfunding offerings. Okay. So if this is the first one she's done or the first one in a 12-month period, she can at least do $2,000. Now, to do more than that, you have to calculate either her income or net worth. And frankly, I'm going to confuse the heck out of people by explaining it. Let me just give you an example of someone's income or net worth, and I'll tell you how much they can invest. Just because the rule is tricky here. So let's say you have someone that has $150,000 of annual income, and they have a net worth of $80,000. They can invest $4,000. I want to state the rule almost, but it's so confusing. We're going to put it. It's going to be in our blog articles. It's already up on a blog article from last week, the specific criteria, but. Someone that has $30,000 annual income, $100,000 net worth, they would only be able to do $2,000. In order to do the $100,000 maximum investment amount, you either have to have $1.2 million in annual income or $2 million of net worth.
Well, I have friends like that everywhere. That's easy. Yeah.
Well, Matt, the $2 million net worth is a little more common than the $1.2 million of annual income, but.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, now this is very, very interesting. So this is great. Now, once I set up my documents, I send all my peeps and all my contacts and friends over to go and see what they can invest and tell them how cool it's going to be. The friend that sent me their crowdfunding pitch did an incredible little video. Now, you guys out there, the listeners, you know I love video. If you haven't signed up for my YouTube channel, get over there. I love to shoot video. And so when she sent over a video on her little idea, I was blown away. I was really ready to go. So there's a lot of crowdfunding experts out there that will teach you how to pitch your crowdfunding idea. But back to legal, Matt. So here's where I was going with this. So when I set up my documents and I say, okay, I've got all these people going there, do I get to decide what my salary is and how much profit I'm going to distribute? Do I have to make promises on their return? What do these investors get?
Yeah. So, let me jump back. I'm going to answer that question, but I want to comment on what you said about the video and making a pitch, because the rules don't allow you actually to solicit except through the portal. So if you're going to do a video or something like that, that's going to have to be linked to the portal, and they go to the portal likely to view that. I've seen some cool videos too, by the way. If you want to see a cool crowdfunding video, just go to YouTube and type in The Coolest. And it's about a cooler that's called The Coolest, and it's a super awesome cooler. Anyway, in terms of what's going to be in the documents, you're going to indicate, as you said, what's going to be any compensation to management that needs to be disclosed in the documents. When you're going to distribute profits, are you going to make monthly distributions, quarterly, annually? And you also have to file an annual report and provide that to every investor and file it with the SEC each year on the activities of what's gone in on the business for that year.
Oh, Matt, this is great stuff. I know that we're helping clients with their documents. And so I'm not soliciting here. I'm just throwing that out there. But Matt, you're prepared to help people with these docs. And like you said, it may be a few thousand dollars. It depends on the complexity of what they're doing. But a normal SEC project, we would start at 15 grand, where you might want to raise more than a million. And you might want to go after maybe 5 or 10 investors rather than 500 investors. So there's different variations on this. But you can help them, Matt?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, me, Jerem, Kevin, we're all up, getting up to speed on all these crowdfunding rules. The final rules just came out last week. But we're definitely going to be ready to help clients. Now, remember, there's 180 days you got to wait since last week before these rules go into effect. But we know what they are. You can start getting ready now. Come back after the break. We're going to be talking more about using crowdfunding to raise capital in your business.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show. Wow, just a powerful segment. If you're just joining us, you're going to want to get back to Biz Talk Radio or iTunes and listen to the first part of the show. We're talking about crowdfunding and ways to raise capital for your business. In fact, how to raise $1 million, $1 million for your business. How could you do that and not go to jail? And the crowdfunding solution is there now. It's final regs. We've got just 6 months until you can blow it wide open with your business and raise the capital you need to expand. Now, I'm interviewing, kind of in an interview role here with my amazing partner, not normally how we do the show, but he is truly the expert on this. So, Matt, I want to ask you another question, and then we want to flip it around. For any of you that might be pitched, I bet you right now, I'm going to say it right now, any of you listening to our show, you are going to get pitched crowdfunding. There's no way around it. If you, unless you live under a rock, in the next 6 months, someone is going to pitch you on social media, hey, go check out my crowdfunding idea. What should you look for? We're going to come to that in a moment. And maybe we dedicate a whole show to that. It's a big topic. But Matt, back to the business owner trying to do this. I need to get these docs in order to submit them to the crowdfunding portal to get people to come and maybe invest. What other pieces and parts do I need to make this happen?
Okay, so you're going to need to obviously have a company set up. If you have an existing business, you're probably going to need to change those documents, because I guarantee you, even if a lawyer set up those documents, they weren't set up for investors. If this is new, we're going to set it up, and the documents are going to be geared towards you running the company and having investors. That's very critical in your operating agreement or your bylaws, whatever type of company you're setting up, that it's structured in that way. A lot of small businesses or startups are not done in that way unless they're planning to raise money. So keep that in mind. Obviously, you're going to have disclosure documents. We talked a little bit about that. You know, how much you're going to raise, what's the share price, what's the background of management. But the last thing to think about that you're going to need to do is there are some requirements on providing financial information. So if you filed, if you've already been in business and you're seeking to raise money, you have to disclose prior operating history. Now, if you're just trying to raise up to $100,000 or less, all you've got to do is supply a copy of your tax return, certified to be correct by an executive officer of the company. Not too bad, right?
Right. I can live with that.
Yeah, I can live with that. If you're trying to raise between $100,000 and $500,000, you have to provide financial statements reviewed by an independent accountant. Doesn't even have to be a CPA. It just has to be reviewed by an independent accountant.
Interesting definition. We'll have to learn more about that. Yeah, reviews are typically, the definition of a review is typically a CPA, because the AI CPA manages the review or audit process. It goes from compilation to review to audit. But again, we're all learning what these definitions mean with the SEC. It's kind of wild, wild west in this area. So good stuff. Okay, so now if I want to raise 500 grand to a million.
Yep, anything over $500,000, you have to have financial statements reviewed by an independent accountant. If it's your first time offering, which is, so it's the same rule on between $100,000 to $500,000, but as long as it's your first time going out to raise $1 million, you can still, audited by an independent, again, accountant. This does actually say public accountant. So so you have to have a, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, totally no, this is good, man.
No,
no, I think it's the, go ahead. You give it one more shot.
Let me say this again. I'm gonna state this again, because this is why you need lawyers. Okay, $500,000 or more, if it's your first time doing a crowdfunding offering, you have to have financial statements reviewed by an independent public accountant. Okay. If this is not your first time offering, you've done an offering before, and you're trying to raise over $500,000, now you must have audited financial statements. Okay. So you can just get away with a review if it's over $500,000. If it's your first time doing this, if you've done this before, the SEC sees you as being someone raising money in multiple ways through this, more risk, so they want audited financials.
I love it. Great, great, Matt. And we know how hard it is. Interpreting federal regulations is very, very tricky. Okay, now quickly here in our last few minutes, let's at least break open this can of worms on what happens if I get pitched a crowdfunding proposal. Now, I know this has already happened to me, and of course, I'm going to think, do I think that this is something, a product or service I would buy? So we've got to think intrinsically, is this a good business idea? But secondarily, Matt, what are some cautionary things you would give someone that might invest $1,000 to $100,000?
Well, what you want to do first is make sure that the offering is through a crowdfunding portal. Remember that your money must go through a crowdfunding portal. And think of the crowdfunding portal like the title or escrow company when you buy real estate. You know, that's the party you send the money to. That's the party that's going to send you the documents. That's the party that sends you your deed or your certificate of ownership for the stock you buy. So you're going to have to interface with the title company. If they're not using a crowdfunding portal, that is an indication it might be a scam or they're not operating properly under the rules. So look for the crowdfunding portal. Second thing is, understand what you're getting. How much money am I getting? And how much ownership in the business am I getting from a percentage basis? I always like to try and calculate that in small company investments like this. So look for those couple things. Those are some areas that can help you. Keep in mind, you can use a self-directed IRA. You can use personal funds. So there's a lot of ways you can invest into a crowdfunding offering. Again, just your personal funds or even self-directed IRA funds.
Oh, that's a great point, Matt. Look at you, a little self-serving comment there for you self-directed gurus out there. I love it. Is that I didn't even think to bring that up, is that when you do get pitched that crowdfunding idea, why not move your IRA into a self-directed custodian and then over to the crowdfunding portal? It's kind of a two-step approach, but I love it. And many of you may say, hey, my IRA may not getting me the returns I want, so maybe I'll deploy that to an IRA. Now, real quick, you know what? Every week we usually share a five-star review. We're going to, because of this heavy topic today, we didn't get to that. We will choose a five-star review and independently reach out to them and say thank you. But please, any of you listening, please get to iTunes, give us a five-star review. We want you to be proud of our show as you share it with your friends and family. We're trying to hit 100 reviews before the end of the year. It means a lot to us. And we choose a five-star review each week and give away a copy of our books. So, Matt, thank you today. That was an excellent summary of crowdfunding. You rock, man.
Yeah. Now stay in touch with us. Follow our blog and website. You can sign up for the newsletter at refreshyourwealth.com. We'll be doing a webinar later on about this and have more newsletter articles as well.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Refresh Your Wealth. We'll see you next week.
For listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.